And then if you got a couple stringy dallies, you can go to where we were Wednesday, Monday night, which is Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And then we'll also dabble for a moment in Hebrews chapter 11. If you've got a second stringy dally or a marker. Today I want to talk to you about faith that crosses over. Faith that crosses over. Because God doesn't want us to stay on this side of the river forever. God doesn't want us to stay in our comfort zone. Israel's already wasted. Everyone say wasted. 40 years. Think about this. They've already wandered around complaining, not being very good children at all, for 40 years. And here's poor Moses trying to lead them out of Egypt into the promised land that flows with milk and honey. Moses sent out spies. 10 of the spies came back and said, "Man, it is all that we've hoped for. Look at the size of these grapes. Look at the size of this that we have." But, Moses, there's giants in the land. And we seem as if we were grasshoppers in their eyes. Well, did they say that? No. But that's how they were thinking. We're like grasshoppers. How could we ever go across the Jordan River and possess the land? How could we ever conquer these giants? And you know the story that they get to another hard place. God tells Moses to speak to the rock. Moses pulls out his trusty stick that he's so famous for. Moses smacks the rock with the stick. God still, because he loves his people and wants to provide for them, the water still comes out of the rock. But the Lord then comes down very hard on Moses, the leader, and says, "Moses, very disappointed in you for not obeying what I ask you to do. And as a result, Moses, you and this generation will not see the promised land." To be that close, and yet you're not going to get to enter in to all that I have. You're going to miss out. And so the two spies, Caleb, Joshua, that come back, they said, "Hey, we need to go over. Let's go over. Let's take the land." And so now Moses is gone. Beginning of chapter 3, I preached a couple of weeks ago. Sanctify yourself. Sanctify yourself. For tomorrow the Lord is going to do wonderful things for us. Get ready. Get your hearts ready. And I still believe that is true. We're getting our hearts ready, aren't we? I told someone last week, I said, you can tell that this church is pressing in. Because last week, so many times you get to an Easter service, there's such a, I don't know, the only way I know to describe it, it's like a religious spirit that rests on the Easter service. And it's just, there was no religious spirit here last week. But it was that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead that was with us last week. It was a precious anointing. And it was just a wonderful time. And that is because the people, we got our hearts ready for it. And we've been praying on Monday mornings at 6:30. And we're seeking God. And we're crying out to Him, all of us. And as a result, God's pouring His Spirit out upon us. And so here we are. And here's Joshua on the banks of the Jordan River. And I really believe with all my heart, because you've been there and I've been there too, his heart's beating a little stronger. There's a little apprehension in his heart saying, oh, Lord, I did hear from you, right? Oh, God, I really heard from you. And he probably said, now, is this how Moses would do it? How many of you know, you ask yourself, is this how mom or dad would have done it? Is this, and Lord, what about those giants that are waiting on the other side of the river? Because I saw them too. Are we going to be able to, is this just going to be a bust? Are we going to cross the river? Are we going to get to the other side and then have to turn tail and run back? Lord, are you really going to go before us? Are you really going to help us? Because again, he's not calling them into a promised land that's been cleaned out. The children of Israel have been called into the land that flows with milk and honeys, but yet the Hittites, the Jebusites, all the other ites, the termites, they're all there. They're all there waiting for them. What they don't realize is that the miracles that God has already been doing has already spread across the river. The things that God is, as the Jordan River is going to open up, it's going to spread, word is going to spread to these people that are, again, what does Rahab say in Jericho? Our hearts, the people's hearts are already melted at what your God. Everyone say your God. Now say my God. And this is where I want us to catch today. It's my God. It's your God that is going to lead us from this transition. How many of you know, I guarantee you, there were some folks there in the camp that probably still would have been happy if Joshua would have just said, guys, why don't we just head back to Egypt? There probably would have been some folks that would have been just fine with that. No, God has called them. God has spoke to them. We read it in verse 7. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And you shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant. And this is what it's all about, church. It's all about the presence of God. It's all about the Spirit of God. Amen? You will tell the priests, excuse me, when you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan. Now, what time of the year is it? It's harvest time. The banks of the Jordan River are overflowing. It is at a flood stage. Hey, God, did you check the calendar? You could have took us across this river when it was a little bit lower. But how many of you know God says, no, I want to display my glory. I want to display my power. I know exactly that it's harvest time. I know exactly that the river is more flooded today, this week, than it has been for months. I'm well aware of that. Doesn't bother me, because I am the Lord. Amen? And there is nothing too hard for me. When you tell the priests, when you've come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you're to stop and stand in it and see what I won't do. Believe. Do you believe these words, Joshua? Church, are we believing this morning what the words of the Lord are to us, to living waters, to you as families and individuals, to go, to stay, to move, not to move, to give, to step out in faith? Last week in John chapter 20, we didn't get there. John 20, verse 28. Bless his heart. We give him the nickname Doubting Thomas. But how many of you know, you read scriptures and Thomas is a pretty strong disciple? Thomas, Because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed, happy are those who have not seen and have yet believed. Amen? Amen. That's us. We're blessed because we're believing in a God we have not seen. We're believing in a risen Savior that we haven't touched with our hands. I'm sure as Joshua's standing there on the bank of the river, he's like, maybe I should call the elders and take a vote on this to get some reaffirmation, more reaffirmation. It's how I felt last year. The Lord said, I want you to arise and build. Arise and build. And I don't want you to take out a loan. I just want you to step out in faith and see if God won't provide for an extension for the youth and for a fellowship hall and a meeting place. Just step out. And my heart was pounding, church. I stood up and I declared it like I was all this and all that, but I wasn't. Lord, did I really hear from you? Lord, is this really possible? Can we really pull this off in a few months and have this built by the time that Kingsley shows up for a dedication? And can we really do all these things? How many of you know when God speaks, sometimes we just got to let go and say, okay, God, I heard you. And now I'm going to have faith. Because, again, this is what it takes faith to cross over the Jordan. It takes faith to go into the unknown. But how many of you know God says in Scripture that He has given every man a measure of faith? Every person's been given a scoop. Now, some of your scoops are bigger than mine. But everyone's been given a scoop of faith. And it's what you do with your scoop that determines how it goes. And Joshua's been given a scoop of faith that he is partnering with God Almighty. Amen? Here's what we read Monday night in men's meeting, Galatians chapter 3. And he starts off, oh, foolish Galatians. You've been bewitched. You've been tricked. Because this question I want to ask you, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or did you receive the Spirit by faith? Are you so foolish, having been gone in the Spirit? Are you now being made perfect by your own flesh? Are you trying to work it out in your flesh? Or are you going to allow the faith that first came into your heart to grow? How many of you know faith grows? Faith grows. Why? Because if faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, the more hearing of the Word of God I get into my heart, the more my faith can grow. Galatians, how come your eyes have been taken off of the truth, and now you're trying to work out these things in the flesh? See, the law was trying the faith, but faith is trusting. Hallelujah. Faith is trusting, believing in God. Jump down to verse 6. Because just as Abraham believed God, what did God tell Abraham to do? Abraham, get and leave all your family, leave all your comfort zone, and let me lead you to a place. Well, what place? Well, I'm not going to tell you that. I just said I'm going to lead you. You'll find out when you get there. And Abraham, everyone say, believe God. Thank you, Lord, for a belief. Father, thank you today for a faith to be able to step out and to leave comfort zone and to leave so that we can see the supernatural being released. We'll never see the supernatural release if we never step out in faith.
I will never see the supernatural released until I step out in faith.
Peter would have never walked on the water if he hadn't got out of the boat. We see it over and over again.
And Abraham believed God, and notice, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. Into his account. Have you checked your account lately? What's your balance? What's it look like? Every time Abraham believed, every time Abraham followed, every time Abraham stepped out in faith, he believed God, and Scripture says, deposited in his account was righteousness. And deposits and more deposits and more deposits were made. Was Abraham perfect? No. Because again, God says, look, Abraham, see the stars? That's what your family's going to look like. See the sand? That's what your family's going to look like. Then Abraham looked at Sarah. Oh my. Where's my faith? God knew. He was aware of how old Sarah was. And yet Abraham believed God. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are of the sons of Abraham. Wow. He's putting a label on his church. We're either people of faith or we're people of fear. We're either people of faith or we're people of doubt. And I believe God's called us to be people of faith. Amen. And knowing that as we are people of faith, he's depositing in our account. Woo! I'm excited about getting an account full of righteousness because we're believing God. Listen, now I understand. It takes faith to be able to say, God, I give you the first 10% of my income. That's faith. But how many of you know that's where God says, listen, open and see if I, test me and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing you can't contain simply because of a simple act of faith of the tithe. Yet I know how hard that can be sometimes to give the tithe. So those who are of faith are blessed. Woo! Verse 8, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. And that's what I think we're going to see as the church rises up. We're going to see the eyes of the world turned on us, and they're going to see that we're blessed. They're going to see that even though difficult times are coming and yet we're standing strong and we're not having to hold back. Verse 9, so then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. We're right on the line. How much can you accomplish in your own strength? How much can we accomplish on our own? How much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? Hallelujah. No. God's asked us to believe. God's asked us to be people of faith, just as Abraham. So what is faith? Hebrews chapter 11. Can't get a more pure and a clear picture of what faith is. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith, read it with me. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Can I encourage you today? Faith is not believing for something. Primarily, understand this. Faith is not believing for something. Faith is believing in someone. And his name is Jesus. Let's break this down. Faith is the, everyone say substance. Who is that substance? Now notice this. Let me see if I can find where my notes are a little askew because I was going to. Now, notice this. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. I'm sorry, Jim, skip there. Hebrews 1, 3. Can you do that for me? Hebrews 1 through. Notice. Because again, we said, now faith is the substance. Notice where we see the same word in Hebrews 1. The exact same Hebrew word, the exact same Greek word as substance in Hebrew 1. Here's how it's interpreted in Hebrews 11. Look how it's interpreted in verse 3 of chapter 1. Jesus, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his substance. Faith is the person. Hallelujah. Faith is the person of things hoped for. That's where our faith is at. It's in the person of Jesus. And upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Isn't that awesome? Faith is the person. Faith is the trusting in Jesus. It's not trusting in something or for something. No, it's trusting in someone. It's trusting in the King of Glory. Now, let's go back to Hebrews 11, 13. Because I don't know about you, but my heart's been just gripped. My heart's been, I just can hardly bear the thought of to understand this. But this is the truth. And these all died in faith, having not received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded, everyone say persuaded. And they were persuaded of them, and they embraced them. The promises of God, they had faith to embrace them, to take them in, and confessed that they were just strangers and pilgrims on this earth. These all died, not receiving their promises in this earth. And last week is we received the news that in Kenya, El Shabaab, and they show up at the university in Kenya armed with their A46s or A47s, something bad, knocking on every door. John answers the door. Are you a Muslim? Next door. Down to the cafeteria. Look at them laying there. Where's your faith? Where's your faith now? Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Why did they die? Did they do something wrong? No. They just said they were believers. That their trust was in God, in Jesus. Lord, help my faith. I'm so worried about such piddly Italy stuff that doesn't hold a candle to what our fellow believers across the globe are going through and the faith that they're having to have. Church, we got to pray for these believers. We've got to pray for these people who are having to really allow their faith to be tested with fire. To be at the thought, and again, hashtag 147, not just a number. If you get a chance to check out the tweet to see the faces of these beautiful young people, 147 that day. Students in Kenya just massacred for their faith. I guarantee you what, their faith didn't let them down. Because they were trusting in someone and not for something. See, that's the thing. So many people are disappointed in God because they're believing for something. And then when that something doesn't happen, oh God, you didn't. Or the devil turns around and says, I thought you were a believer who had faith. And you prayed for this and it didn't happen. Man, you must not be very much, you must be pretty weak in your faith. You must not be a very good Christian. But when we have faith in Him, we'll never be disappointed. Are these families hurting? Absolutely. But I'm telling you what, that's when grace kicks in. That's when the grace of God and mercy of God kicks into their lives to be able to stand up and say, "Woo, I am proud of my child. I'm proud of my son. I'm proud of my daughter." Because they didn't bow their knee to compromise. They stood up in faith. Amen? See, faith is not the absence of difficulties. It is the nearness of God through the difficulties. Can I say that again? Faith is not the absence of difficulties, but it's the nearness of God through these difficulties. Now faith is. Faith is, amen, the substance of things hoped for. Faith is Jesus, hoping in Jesus. The evidence of things not seen. That word evidence means proof. Or to reprove. We read, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness." There we see again, that word is only used two times in the Bible. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it means to reprove that God is God. That all Scripture is given. So let me read to you Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 again. God is the substance of everything we hope for. God is the evidence of the things we can't see. Can we give Him a praise this morning? You can take that picture off. I think we're done. That's sobering though, isn't it? Let me say that again. God is the substance of everything we hope for. God is the evidence of the things we can't see and understand. We sang it this morning. Because I am yours and you are mine. I am yours, Lord. And you're mine. And we're in this together. No matter where you take us. No matter what rivers you ask us to cross. Kind of left us hanging this morning. So let's finish our story out. Joshua chapter 3. Verse 14. "And so it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan, and the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as those who bore the Ark came into the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the Ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its bank during the time of the harvest, that the waters..." Now notice this. Here's the result of their faith in God. Okay, again, I hope we catch this today. Faith is not believing for something. Faith is believing in someone. If we'll catch this and allow this to get deep in our spirits, that faith is not believing for something, but believing in someone, we will never be disappointed. Because Jesus will never disappoint us. "That the waters which came then from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away, starting at Adam that is beside Zeraton." Want to take a guess how far the river upstream stopped? When it's all said, 20 miles. 20 miles the Lord stopped the Jordan River so that the waters went down into the Sea of Araba, the Salt Sea failed and were cut off, and excuse me, and all the people crossed over opposite Jericho. That's a long ways away. But how many of you know by now, They start, when Israel first left Egypt, started off as 2, 3, 4 million strong. So how many Israelites are there today? Scads. There's scads of them that need to cross. And of course, Joshua's going to tell, now listen, each of the tribes, you need to get a big rock. Because we want to start making, when your kids ask about this story, there's going to be some rocks right there at the river that's going to display. This is the place where the Ark of the Covenant stood. This is the place where God stopped the river. I was reading one guy's explanation of this, and he has some geologist or somebody who records in history that there was a landslide about the same time as the Israelites crossing. I'm thinking, that's interesting. If the Lord wanted to use the landslide, he certainly could. But how many know God could have just put his hand up there and said, stop? The bottom line is all the people crossed over on dry land. Stand with me this morning. Man, it would have been so easy just to stay there and say, whoo, we'll wait a few weeks, Rusty. Let's wait a few weeks before we step out in this crossing over thing. Let's wait a few more months before we step out in this parking lot thing. No. That's it's easy, but it's not faith. To every man has been given a measure of faith. Scripture then goes on to say, and we know then that the just shall live by faith. Any just in the house? Amen. That's us. We're the just. I believe God's challenging us this morning. He's rocking, shaking our boat a little bit, saying it's time to keep moving. It's time to keep stepping out and crossing over. Sure, church is full. Offering buckets full. Church is fantastic financially. And we can just relax, no? Because there's a generation out there to be captured. There's a harvest in Costa Rica. There's a harvest over there in China where Bob and Cindy Sayer are. There's a harvest down there in Guanajuato. And they're depending on people of faith to step out and continue to move in faith. Let's bow our heads this morning, because I believe each and every one of us has probably been challenged differently this morning in our walk with Him. Maybe you saw the pictures of those students laying there massacred because of their faith. Maybe God's calling you to a new level of prayer this morning for the people of God, the persecuted, those who are suffering for the faith. Maybe God's calling for you this morning to step out in a newer, bigger way of seeing the kingdom of God move forward. Father, we thank you this morning for the word of the Lord.